This podcast is from Christian Chapel in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, visit us online at christianchapel.com.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you guys this morning. My name is Amy. I'm the children's pastor here at Christian Chapel. And you're joining us for our final Sunday of our summer message series, Keep Moving. We've been looking at the book of Philippians all summer. And just hearing a lot about Paul's encouraging letter that he wrote to the Philippians. And encouraging them to keep moving in their relationship with God, their relationship with others, and keep doing the things that they're called to do. And Pastor Chris has started each of his messages with a word of encouragement for you all, and I'm really excited to get to do that for you this morning. As I said, I'm the children's pastor, and one of the big events we do at in our kids department is kids camp. We have kids camp, and one of my favorite activities we do at kids camp is we go to the mud pit. Now, there's a picture of it. I know you're thinking, that does not sound like fun. Why is mud pit fun? I tell you, I'm not the type of person that likes to get dirty, but this event is one of my favorite things we do at kids camp. And we just get in there, and it's really more like a spa treatment. I mean, you just kind of exfoliate the skin. And we have a blast. We play games. We just get mud all over ourselves and each other. And the kids love. One of the rules is you can't put mud in people's faces. I mean, they can wipe it, but you can't throw mud. But they still manage to get mud everywhere. And they love to put mud on me. In fact, good luck trying to find me in this picture because I am covered from head to toe with mud. I mean, my hair is like a mud helmet. You can't, you won't recognize me, I'm sure. But it's really a lot of fun. But after we do this, we go down to the creek and we take a float walk back to the camp, mainly because we need to get all that mud off ourselves before we go back to camp. But we go through and we get to enjoy the cool water and just kind of hanging out with each other as we float back from the mud pit back to camp. And this past year, I was walking back to camp and I was kind of toward the back of the group. And I looked ahead of me, and I saw something really exciting. I saw just pockets of volunteers doing what they were called to do. We had some holding hands with kids, some hanging out with them, others giving kids piggyback rides. And it was just beautiful just to see all of the volunteers just giving their time, giving of their patience, getting dirty and just hanging out with the kids. And then I noticed a lot of our sixth graders doing the same thing. Our sixth graders giving little ones piggyback rides, walking alongside the younger ones, and they were emulating what the volunteers were doing. And it was just, to me, it was just a beautiful moment. And it's just a really small snapshot of what I experience serving here in the kids department every week at Christian Chapel. Just to give you an idea, on an average Sunday and Wednesday night, I serve alongside about 35 to 40 of you guys in the different things that we do on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And that's during the school year. During the summertime, we don't have Wednesdays, but we have a lot of other big events that we do, especially for the youth group and in the kids department. And because of that, we need a lot of help to serve our kids in these big events that we do. So this past summer, I served alongside 70 of you at Mega Sports Camp, Mega Summer Camp. I served alongside 30 of you at Kids Camp. And at least, my numbers are probably low on this, at least 80 of you at Rural Family Kids Camp, plus the normal 15 to 20 I serve with on Sunday mornings. And you all do an amazing job of serving and loving and giving to our kids. And you do it joyfully, and you do it patiently, you do it full of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you to keep moving in that area. Keep moving in your heart for our kids. And every year we have new people that come to the church, and one thing we hear over and over and over and over again is, my kids love to come to class. They love the preschool class. They love coming to Rangers. And we just had to keep coming back because they just love it so much. And I can't take credit for really any of that because I don't teach Rangers. I don't teach Sunday morning preschool. You guys do that. You guys are the ones that are making a difference in the lives of these kids that come to our church. And you might consider an interaction to be small and mundane, but it has a power to affect a child for eternity. And I just want to encourage you to keep letting the Holy Spirit lead you. Keep moving. Keep serving our kids. Keep loving our kids because you are making a huge difference in that. And so we just really want to encourage you with that word this morning. Today we're going to look at the last part of Philippians. And the last portion of Philippians has a lot of great, really encouraging stuff that Paul is giving to the Philippians. And this morning we're going to focus on the parts of the passage that address our contentment in Christ and our reliance on His provision in our lives. I want to start off this morning by looking at probably one of the most popular passages in this part of Philippians, and it's Philippians 4:13. It says here in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." Now, this is a great verse, but it's very often taken way out of context, especially in the sporting arena. All right, you probably know where I'm going here. Okay, you're going to see this scripture printed on the thighs of marathon runners, and you're going to see it on the eye black of the football players. And it's really easy to think this verse means that anything you want to accomplish, you can do it. Now, if that were the case, I would be an amazing athlete. Many of you know me, and you know, see, just a disclaimer before I start this story, because I don't want to offend any of you. I am a huge sports fan. I love to watch sports. I cannot play any of them, none of them. And, you know, Pastor Chris has mentioned many times that he fantasizes that he could play the electric guitar. I fantasize that I was good at a sport. And not even like currently good at a sport, but even like I used to be. Like in high school or college, I'd say, yeah, I used to play softball or I used to play soccer. I can't even claim that I used to be good at any kind of sport, just to show you the level of my unathleticism. So when I was in college, I went to a small Christian college in Springfield, Evangel. Woo, I knew I was going to get that from Sarah. Thank you. So I came to that in second service. I'm like, who? What is that? So anyway, I went to this college, and when you're a freshman, you have all these classes you have to take. And one of them was a fitness class called Lifetime Fitness. And it was a mixture of written tests and skills tests and a lot of different sport areas. And so you had to take all these tests besides just the written. You had to prove skill as well. And we had a running test. And you had to get, I forget, it was like 2.5 miles, I think, 2.5 miles or 3, run in a certain amount of time to get an A. And the slower you were, the more your grade dropped. So I got a D in that test. I know. I got a D on the running test. And then we had badminton. Why? Of all the sports you choose, why do you choose badminton? And we had a badminton serving test. I flunked that thing. I could not get that stupid birdie over that net. I tried and tried every time, missed it. Every time. I was getting angrier and angrier and angrier. I ended up with a B in the class, and I think it's because I aced all the written tests because I did not do well on the skills tests. And just, I mean, I'm not a bad student. I mean, besides that class, and ironically, college success, I don't understand why, but I got an A. I got an A in all my other classes. Besides those two classes. So it wasn't the fact that I was just a bad student. I was just really bad at sports. But if I could have used Philippians 4:13 to get better grade on my running test and my badminton serving test in Lifetime Fitness, I would have thought it was amazing. But the problem with just looking at this verse as a secret weapon for accomplishing anything and everything that we want to do is that we are looking at this verse without seeing the context in which Paul was talking here. And so I want to look back at this verse that says, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Well, what's this? We have to look back in the verses before that to see what this is. And so let's look at verses 11 and 12. Paul says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do this through Him who gives me strength. So let's talk for a minute about contentment. Okay, what does it even mean to be content? The dictionary defines contentment as a state of happiness and satisfaction. Not happiness or satisfaction, but happiness and satisfaction, both at the same time. So Paul says he is able to be content. He's saying that he is in every situation able to have a state of mind, a frame of mind of happiness and satisfaction. He's living in contentment. And we've mentioned this many times throughout the book of Philippians this summer, but you know where Paul was when he wrote this. He was in prison as he's talking about being content in every situation that he's in. And I'm sure that prison was not his first choice of places to be at this moment in his life. And yet he is saying that he has learned to be content there and really content anywhere. And he lets us in on the secret of that contentment. Now, if someone told you that they knew the secret to living to 150, healthy and strong, all the way till 150, they knew the secret to a perfect marriage, or the secret to raising perfect kids, the secret to retiring a multimillionaire at the age of 29, okay, we'd be all ears, right? Because most of those things, unless you're Andrew Luck, most of those things are, most of you didn't get that, okay? Remember, I told you I like sports. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you'll have to look it up later. But anyway, most of those things are completely, if not almost totally impossible for us to attain. And sometimes the idea of being content, no matter what the circumstance, is equally impossible, seems equally impossible for us to attain. And yet Paul says he knows the secret of how to be content. So we're going to be all ears here, right? Because we want to know the secret too, because it seems impossible to us. And so how can we be happy and satisfied in every situation like Paul says that he is? Well, that's where Philippians 4:13 comes back in again. Let's look at 4:13. It says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. You see, Paul's contentment doesn't reside in what's going on around him. It resides on what's going on inside of him. And he is saying he can live a life of contentment because of the strength he receives from God. And if you look at the original Greek of verses 11 and 12, the language that Paul uses there indicates that this learning to be content is based on a complete and total reliance of the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of him. He cannot do it in his own power, and neither can we. We cannot be content no matter what without God's strength inside of us. And I think of two kind of smaller areas where I see this at play in my life and the lives of really all of us. But I think about material things, stuff. And, you know, I have this wonderful brand new iPhone 6S that I've had for a few years. And, you know, now they have the iPhone like 85 or something like that. But you get something, you think it's new and it's awesome, and then the next day you turn around and there's something else better. So raise your hand if you have ever or currently own a Honda Odyssey. Anyone? No? Yeah? I used to have one. I actually miss mine very much. I had one of those, and before we had that one, we had two little sedans, and we had two kids, and we travel a lot to see our family. And so the summer before we finally decided to join the minivan world, we took a trip to Florida with our kids to see my husband Dave's family. And you remember those space bags? You know, you put all your clothes in, you vacuum all the air out, and they become really small. That's how I packed our clothes for that trip. I got like four or five space bags, put all the clothes in, and then sucked all the air out, and we stuck them in the trunk. And after this, like, we can't anymore. So we finally got a minivan. And I was not one of those that was like, ooh, a minivan. I was so excited to have my minivan. And it was new to us. It was a two-year-old minivan when we got it. It was new to us. And it wasn't, but maybe, I don't know, like 6 months later, they come up with a new one. They had a vacuum inside the minivan. Like, what? Inside it. And if you have kids, you understand the strain your vacuum takes to clean up goldfish crackers and chips and chicken nuggets and anything you could imagine. And a vacuum inside was a game changer. All of a sudden, my cool minivan was not so cool anymore. And I began to not be so content with what I had. And that happens to us a lot. And it's great that we are progressing and we are learning and doing new things. But sometimes that can affect our ability to be content with the things we have. Another area that I see contentment to be a struggle is just in our everyday experiences. And really, I blame social media for this. The problem is we compare our everyday lives to someone else's highlight reel. And when we do this, it's so easy for us to look at what other people are experiencing and other people are getting and not be content with the things that we are experiencing, the things that we're receiving in our lives. And so in those situations, the temptation to not rest in contentment is very strong. And we need strength from the Holy Spirit to be able to maneuver those situations in our lives. Now, those are just small examples that if we struggle with being content in those small areas of life, how much harder is it to be content when we're struggling with big issues, with big trials, temptations, sicknesses, the loss of a relationship, the loss of a job? When we have those situations hit us, how much harder is it to rest in contentment. It takes the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit for us to be able to maneuver those times in our lives. And Paul mentions that he has learned to rely on God's strength when he's living in want, but also in plenty. See, sometimes when things are going great, it's actually harder for us to rely on God's strength because we feel pretty self-sufficient. Well, I've got this. Everything's going well. I don't need anything. I don't need any help. But God wants us to walk with him all the time. And God wants us to let the Holy Spirit be a part of our lives every single day, in every space, in every circumstance in our lives. And honestly, really, there's really never a time in our lives, very rarely, where we find ourselves with every single thing in our life going great, right? Like we're living in a musical or some Disney fairy tale, okay? And also, on the other side, we rarely find ourselves in a time where we are the main characters in a bad country song, okay? It's never really one or the other. It's usually all at the same time, ups and downs and everything in between. And so things might be going well here and not great here. And it's important that we don't tie our happiness and satisfaction, we don't tie our contentment to those things that are going on around us. We need to anchor all of that, our contentment, in the power and the presence of God's Spirit, knowing with confidence that he's with us. He's with us up here, he's with us down here, and he's with us everywhere in between. And he's going to provide what we need in every single circumstance. Which brings us to Philippians 4:19, another promise that we find in the book of Philippians to us. It says here, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." The first thing a lot of us think about, we think about God meeting our needs. We think about our material needs, the things we actually need on earth. And that applies here. But we need to challenge ourselves to look deeper at this scripture, because the verse says God will meet all your needs. All of them. And we know that there are other needs deep in our hearts and souls that go beyond material needs. When we're lacking physical strength, when we're lacking in mental sharpness, when we are lacking wholeness in our emotions, when we're lacking in our relations with other people, we need the Holy Spirit to move in those spaces in our lives. And we have all we need because of God's riches. See, there is no limit to God's healing power. There's no limit to the peace he can give. There's no limit to his patience. There's no limit to his love for us. There's no limit to him, period. No limit. And because there's no limit to him, there is no limit to what he can provide for you. And I want to look at this verse again one more time, because there's three little words at the end that change everything for us. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. All the riches of God, all of God is available to us because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we can stand firm and we can be confident that he is with us. And no matter what the circumstances are, God will be there. God will take care of us. We can trust him. He's able to, and he's willing. And you'll notice, if you go back and look at Philippians 4 later on this afternoon, there's only like four more verses left. And it's almost like Paul kind of like, you know what, this is all that needs to be said here. There's really nothing else to say. And as I was planning this message, and I got to this, and I thought, there's nothing more to say here. There's no more stories to tell. There's nothing else to say but just to say thank you, Jesus, and just to worship him and to thank him for providing everything we need. Because of Jesus, everything that God has available is available to us. And so we're going to be able to finish this morning with communion. And communion is a wonderful time for us to remember what Jesus has done for us. And remember that because of Jesus, everything that God has is available to us. I would like for you to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to think for a moment about what you need. Not what you want, but what do you need? Deep down in your soul, deep down where maybe only God and you know, what do you need from God this morning? Now, none of us are exempt from this morning, because we all need something from God. If you don't think you need anything from God, then you're not looking deep enough. You need to look deeper. You need to ask him. Maybe you're not aware of what you need, but he knows what you need. So I want to encourage you to take this moment to tell God what you need. Some of you, it might be big needs. Some of you, it might be small needs. Some of your needs might be anchored in material need. Some of your needs might be coming from a deep place of emotional, mental, or spiritual need. We all need something from God. We can't even breathe without him. So we all need something from God. And God, because he loves you, he is able and willing to provide what you need. And I'd like to pray for you. And after we pray, we're going to worship. The ushers are going to come to service communion, and then we will take communion together in a few moments. But I just want to pray for you right now. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you that because of you, all of the riches of God are available to us. And right now, as we pour out our hearts to you and we ask you for what we need, God, that you would provide, that the power of your Holy Spirit would be inside of us, that we would rest in a contentment that knows that you're with us, that you provide what we need, that you love us, that you care for us, that you have a plan for us. And I pray, God, as we just spend these next few moments in your presence, God, would you please do what only you can do in our hearts. Holy Spirit, we invite you here. We invite you to move deep in our hearts, deep in our lives. God, we love you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your unending riches that are available to us because of your Son, Jesus. And we celebrate that. We worship you. We praise you. Because you deserve it. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. the cup together, we remember that the cup represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for our sins. And that his blood makes it possible for us to live the life we're called to live. He cleanses us, he sets us free, and gives us the power to live the way that he has called us to live. So let's take the cup together. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. I'm so grateful to you. I'd like to invite you to stand, please. We're going to continue worshiping to this song. If the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you and you would like special personal prayer for what is going on in your circumstances today, you can head out to the doors and to the left. We have a prayer team that'll be ready to pray with you. Otherwise, we're just going to continue to worship. And don't miss this opportunity to respond to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your heart this morning.
Lord, may we leave encouraged today. that all we need has been provided in Jesus Christ and is currently being made available to us. So Lord, we open our hands to receive your provision. We thank you that you see us, you know us, and you are leading and guiding us all along the way. So today, Lord, may our souls be encouraged that you are victorious and you're sharing that victory with us. May we live in peace. May we live in contentment. May we live with an assurance that we are your sons and we are your daughters, and that you are going before us, leading us, guiding us, comforting us all along the path. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us today. May you go in his grace, his peace, and his contentment.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Christian Chapel. For more information, visit us online at christianchapel.com.